Welcome back. And as always, we'd like to have you check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And where else, Ava?
Facebook is a great place.
Facebook is...
In case you were wondering,
you know,
we're there
was,
too.
If that wasn't a high point in advertising for Facebook, I don't know what was. Facebook is a great place. And it's just
to find us. Anyway.
And that was going to say dot, dot, dot. Is that how that works? So
you know,
feel free to check
us out. I'm just here for the fun, all right?
Well,
I don't know.
And when it comes to The Valley Outdoors, there's going to be some things coming up down the show a little bit that will highlight why it's really good to have that as a locked in part of your phone app. So,
well, especially for me, because next weekend I'm going to be in Wisconsin.
You're taking a trip to Scani?
To Scani, the annual trip to Birchwood, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So I got to check my rules and regulations for being on the other side of the river.
There you have it. Make sure you got your license.
Yeah. It's so nice to do the 3-day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have that option. And
I just give up in the beginning of the year and just buy the Wisconsin, buy the Minnesota. And
see,
if I'm
don't...
planning a trip, then it's buy the North Dakota, buy the South Dakota. And of course, the lake. Then you have Lake Michigan. And
it at least goes to good things. You know what I mean?
Well, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the show. So nice segue.
Hey.
Yeah. Huh? What do you think about them apples?
It's like I planned it.
Yeah, you did.
But did I?
We didn't.
I don't think.
No,
I did.
We didn't pre-show
just
that
saying.
One. No. So I left off at the end of the first segment of the show talking about a tournament angler catching a 90 million year old fish. Well, I'm sorry, I forgot to add the fossil part.
I was going to say it has to have been some
Andy
sort
Moore,
of.
Yep, Andy Moore of Elkhorn, Nebraska may not have done well in the recent fishing tournament, but he snagged the biggest catch of the day. It was a 90 million year old bulldog fish fossil.
A bulldog fish.
And this is a kayak tournament. Kayak tournaments are big. Have you heard about these?
No.
Seriously. It's taken off like a rocket.
My husband really wants
it's
a fishing kayak.
It's unbelievable. Well, there's some guys. If you ever go down the YouTube black hole, okay, Michigan Angler, they have some spots on there, and the guy, he goes out from the Michigan Angler. It's actually a retail location, but he goes out. It's right out of Milwaukee, but he goes out. He's got his own kayak. He has a phone mount bracket on. Right here, he has another two graphs that are one is forward facing, but he points them backwards, and a regular sonar. Plus, he's got the three rod holders in his boat, so he's running three rods. He's running planer boards and whatever that particular bite and however the fish are hitting. That's the craziest thing you ever seen. There's more stuff on that boat.
I know, and all the cameras. It's fun.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Plus he has a GoPro that he films the whole thing. So, yeah, pretty crazy. But anyway, so this person, Andy Moore of Elkhorn, Nebraska, I digress. He was in a kayak tournament, and he said after a lousy cast, his lure hung up on a rock. He paddled over to free it up, and he spotted some bones, and he assumed they were recent remains of a deer or catfish. He took a quick picture and returned to fishing. Didn't think much of it until he got home and posted the snapshot on social media. I don't know what it is. I thought it was just a skeleton from like a year ago, he reported. And he said his friends knew better, and his phone and a direct message just blew up with, hey, dude, do you know what that is? And, of course, his friends are telling him that he found an ancient fossil. Decided to contact the Army Corps of Engineers.
So did he put the thing back?
Like, no, he never pulled it out of the water. He hooked it to go over to get it out of the into this fossil.
Gotcha.
Right? So he didn't take it with him. He just left it. So the Army Corps controls the stretch of the river in Yankton, South Dakota. And that's part of the Missouri River chain part. They confirmed it is a fossilized remains of an extinct, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Not, you know, you love that. But it's a bulldog fish. The scientific name is Zaphatancus audax.
Mm.
So
good effort.
We'll leave it at that. And it ranged across the shallow area of that section of the state and covered large portions of North America during the Cretaceous period. This is the best part. Listen to this. The bulldog fish is a ferocious predator.
Ooh.
Grew up to 20 feet long at anywhere from 500 to 1,000 pounds.
Heck.
It makes it one of the largest fish to roam North American seas during that period, because that was when it was actually a sea. And it makes one likely fed on anything that would fit into its considerable jaws.
Sure.
That were
just
lined,
garbage disposal.
That were lined with fang-like teeth more than 3 inches long. When describing why he, this is funny, why he fishes the kayak tournament, he said, seems to be the perfect angler to stumble across a fossil like this one. But the thing is, for me, he said, it's the feeling you get when the fish bites your line. It's that primordial jolt you get in your spine, and it goes right to your brain. And that is the summation of what fishing is to everybody. But when you catch a, how many year old was that I said?
90 million year old
fish. I don't know if you could
Holy
weigh that
smokes.
In. I don't know if that would qualify.
No, but it's cool.
Yeah. It's got cool factor written all over it. As you know, Ron Shira, friend of the show.
Yes, we know Ron.
He's been on here many times. I think many of you in the audience know
Ron. It's been
Ron.
A while. We should get him on soon.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that today. I actually was, because I read the article. He put an article out, and the article is titled The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly for the Outdoor Users from the Minnesota 2025 Legislative Session. And you know, when it comes to funding, everybody has an idea what should be funded or what shouldn't be funded. And if it's your angling expertise, obviously you hope that that's the case. The nice part about Ron has a more global, I think, picture. And the big advantage in that picture is the fact that he's looking at the well-being of the state in general and what really is happening. And that's where MnFish, he works with MnFish. So if you're not familiar with MnFish, it's a group of advocates that really push for developments, improvements within the fishing community, whether it's launch ramps or it's fisheries, hatcheries, whatever it might be. But that's really what their push is. So if you want to take a look at MnFish, take a look at it. It's a great place if you want to throw $5 at them or something to help the overall cause. But so here's the thing. When you cast an idea into unknown waters, Ron says, such as a Minnesota legislature, sometimes it succeeds, sometimes it sinks, and sometimes you wonder if lawmakers are listening or they really give a damn. And I have to agree with them. In this particular case, he says that there's a 125-year-old fish hatchery on Warner Road in St. Paul that's being held together with duct tape, literally. It's the only fish hatchery in the metro region. It's too discombobulated to allow tours for school kids, which would be a great recruiting tool. It's an embarrassment for the state of Minnesota, where the fishing lifestyle is a $6.6 billion plus economic boost to the economy. So you and I have talked about that at length, what the outdoors is. That's just fishing. The question comes, did the 2025 legislature act and do anything about the most deplorable fish hatchery in the state? Nah, he says. Lawmakers did approve giving discounted fishing and hunting licenses to disabled veterans, which is nice. It's a nice gesture. It's going to mean the DNR's Game and Fish Fund will lose about $320,000 in license revenue. Will the general tax revenue collected from all taxpayers reimburse the Game and Fish Fund? Of course not. Does that mean hunters and anglers are actually funding the discounted licenses? Yeah, absolutely we are. Does it mean the DNR has less money to manage fish and wildlife? Absolutely. Does that mean the DNR will ask for fishing and hunting license fee increases next legislative session? You can count on it. And that's the unfortunate part. And Ron says, when raiding the Game and Fish Fund wasn't enough by our legislator, if you own and fish with a boat, your boat registration fees took a big upward bounce to provide an added revenue for aquatic invasive species control programs. It seems like lawmakers believe the DNR fish management programs can operate with less money and the state anglers will always pay more money. So I really think what happens is we, as a whole, they'll take from the fund to what they feel is, oh, it's extra money. But then when it comes to putting back in the fund, if there's something that they wanted to do and didn't think anything about it, then it ends up coming to us as the hunters and anglers. We have to put more money in. And I think that challenge becomes, wait a minute, how are you justifying what you're doing? And that's my take. And I think it is kind of Ron's the same concept, and we'll have him on to talk about it. So the next question, did the state anglers get totally skunked by lawmakers in this last session? And he said there's some good news in the bonding bill that included more than $16 million for continuing to upgrade state fish hatcheries and more than $6 million to repair public water accesses. And that's one of the biggest issues we have in the state, Ava. I think that's one of the things people don't recognize. Access is one of the biggest issues in the state of Minnesota as far as getting on the water.
For sure.
And the quality of the access. Is it, can you actually function?
Right.
Is it silted in? Is it concreted where you can actually put
your
boat in?
What about like parking and all
exactly,
that? Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, lawmakers passed a bill to establish a year-round bass fishing season, a measure also supported by DNR Fishery. Truth is, few bass caught end up in frying pans anyway. So that's the questionable piece to it. Yes, it's nice. We talked about that. To sum it up, while we celebrate efforts to improve the state of fishing, sadly, DNR St. Paul Hatchery keeps getting older. The pipes overhead may need new duct tape to hold them up as time goes by. So nothing changes at the 125-year-old fish hatchery. And the last word of this, there's no reason to beat up on our legislators for ignoring the obvious. It's too easy. Because it is. And the saddest part about it is, in the past, it's been so in the state of Minnesota, the special interest groups, they pull money out for a bike, you know, out of that fund for bikeways. I remember this in particular, a bikeway in the city. Well, how is it that that suddenly turns into a challenge or something that comes out of our particular funding? And I think it's a sad state of affairs that we get to that point. And, yeah, it's a little frustrating, but really kind of a cool piece to the overall vision on what's going on within the legislature itself. I'm going to jump into another one that's was interesting. Out of Mike Schoonfield wrote this article regarding a Senate bill is introduced to collect taxes on foreign-made hunting and fishing gear. And I don't know if you're familiar, Ava, but there's a lot of companies that end up going to China for production of their fishing reels is a big one, rods, and their knockoffs. So what ends up happening, we talked about this before on what happens with a lot of these sporting goods, the larger sporting good chain, and I'll name it, Bass Pro is one of them, and tied into the Cabela side of it. And what they'll do is they'll take a reel that's selling very, very well. They'll copy it. They'll put not very good ball bearings in it and say that's got 10 ball bearings instead of 5 for the high quality bearings that are in the actual brand named, and they go that way with it. But this also holds true with other manufacturers that are such as, I'm not going to put names out there, but anything else that's produced overseas. And now they're talking about introducing a methodology to tax those companies so that we can get that. Now, here's the funny part that I didn't realize. And it says here, most anglers understand each year money spent on purchasing fishing licenses is what funds state fishery agencies. But what many don't understand is the license dollars are actually used as matching funds to qualify for federal funds from the Sport Fishing Restoration Program. The federal program is funded by excise tax for manufacturers of fishing gear, meaning tackle, trolling motors, and other products, and they pay the IRS. They pass the funds to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They dole out the funds to the state fishery agencies on a matching funds program. And apparently it's becoming more difficult to collect those taxes since manufacturing your products for the fishing industry, like many other America industries, is increasingly and largely becoming offshored. The difficulty in collecting it comes from the bureaucratic confusion, some of its blatant non-compliance, And whether it's accidental or on purpose, the national fisheries agencies and are missing out on millions of dollars that could be and should be collected. So this bill that's being introduced is going to be taking advantage of what should have been taking place and wasn't supported in the last administration at all, from the understanding what I read in this particular system article. They warned of noncompliance in this particular case, one reason or another, and they showed similar noncompliance by some foreign-sourced hunting gear as well. So it's not a matter where it's just fishing, it's hunting gear as well.
Well, that's good.
And manufacturers are far from the only industries in the U.S. susceptible to the economic and regulatory conditions that force them to move manufacturing to foreign countries or worse. Many instances, smaller businesses were just put out of business by policies from the government, meaning increasing demands and operations and costing. Here's hoping tariff negotiations and fewer regulatory restrictions on domestic products allow Made in USA stickers on outdoor products become less of a rarity. And I think that's what really is going to be coming out of this. And I'm looking forward to that piece. Make it in the U.S.
Yeah.
And really, we've got some...
Make it not worth sending it overseas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why would you?
No. And you know, that's the sad thing that comes into play as well, that when you look at it, you think, how does this all work? But when you start really digging into it, like I found out here, it's more often than not the story behind the story. And the story in this case behind the story is not that there's a tax on it and we bring in. It's matching funds that we need to make sure we get. And if it's coming from a different company that's offshore, then we need to make sure that that money is getting into where it belongs in our state's outdoor and recreational back funding. And I think that's really the piece that we need to focus on. So
I agree.
With that.
I dig it.
Yeah. You're going to have a good fourth. You're going to go out and do a little fun and games.
Yeah, I think so. I got to work. I got to work today.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Well.
It's a good one.
Yeah. I'm departing right now.
Okay.
Like as soon as we're out the door, I'm gone.
Sure.
Going to go catch fish. That's what I'm going to do.
Sounds good to me.
Story of my life. That's going to happen. Hopefully everybody else has a fantastic, safe 4th of July weekend. Go catch some fish. Go spend some time with the family. Walk, hike, do whatever you got to do, but get out there and enjoy it. It's going to be a good weekend for it. Until next week, we are the Valley Outdoors. I'm Eric and Ava. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.